Wow, so much good stuff going on. Wow, so much good stuff going on. Good morning. So glad you're here this morning. We are really looking forward to joining the New Testament Church family, number of churches in upstate New York that all find their origin in our mother church, New Testament Church, and that ladies' conference. Ladies, get signed up. That's going to be a great time, and I hope we can cause a seating problem over there. That would be just amazing. And Easter Sunday, Good Friday, it's coming. Man, I'm excited about all that God's doing as we're leading up to Easter. It's a great opportunity for you to bring a friend, somebody who's unchurched, bring them for Easter Sunday. They are going to be in for a treat. We have a great Sunday service planned already that we're working on diligently to present the gospel and believe God for a great ingathering of people into God's love on Easter Sunday morning. Hey, we're doing a series right now called Heart for the House, and pursuing God's presence. We want to be a church. That's one of our values and our heart for the house, to pursue God's presence. And thus, we take the time that we do here in a service as we worship the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We talked about the peace of his presence, and today I want to talk to you about the power of his presence. I don't know about you, but I was sensing some power during worship. Were you? Just such a sense of God's breakthrough power. Psalm 149 says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. And I mean, God likes old songs, but he likes new songs too. And so he wants us to be creative and release. And so songs are being written all of the time. So if you wonder, why can't we sing some of the old ones? Well, we try to do that because they're great songs. But the freshness of a new song, and specifically here in this scripture, the new song being the song out of our heart. And we were singing that this morning at the end of one of those songs. As Karen said, let's just sing a song out of your heart as it would flow. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. That's a wonderful thought, that as we're taking pleasure in the Lord, often what you're sensing in the room is God taking pleasure over you. And in fact, there's another scripture that says that God sings over us. So as we're singing to him, he's singing over us. And you can see that in Revelation, the worship around the throne. And we're copying that, just as like this antiphonal singing that's going back and forth between the bride, his church, and the bridegroom, Jesus. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud in their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand. And so that the praise, as we were lifting it up, the high praise is just that, you know, it just goes to that next level. It's that crescendo that we sense here oftentimes at an end of a song, and it just kind of grows, and we refer to that as the high praise, and it becomes a weapon. It becomes a sword in our hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. And of course, we don't fight against flesh and blood here in this day of grace, but principalities and powers it's talking about in the high places, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Would you put your hands together and praise the Lord right now? Come on, just in response to Psalm 149. What a great psalm that is. Father, thank you for what you're already doing today. And Lord, stir us as I'm already stirred. Lord, as we look at the power in your presence that's available for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Joshua chapter 3, we read about the children of Israel. They've been wandering in the wilderness, and they've been rescued from Egypt, a picture of our rescue from sin. And they've come through the Red Sea, a picture of water baptism that we're going to get to see on Easter Sunday morning. And then they come into the promised land. They cross the Jordan, and they come into the land that God promised, that's flowing with milk and honey, just a script of a prosperity and the provision of God. There are enemies there that need to be defeated, but God's people would come into this beautiful time of God's provision, speaking to us of the Spirit-filled life, speaking to us of those who just cherish the Holy Spirit and his presence and his work in our lives. And so they cross into Holy Spirit living is really the picture this morning. And as they cross over the Jordan, the priests have the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of God's presence. He said, I will dwell over the Ark. So throughout the whole Old Testament, when you saw God's Ark, you witnessed and experienced his presence. And so they carried or shouldered, on their shoulders, they carried the Ark of the Covenant, the priests. And as they stepped into the Jordan, a miracle happened. It parted the Jordan and the children of Israel walked on dry ground. It said this was the instructions to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, this morning, if I could say it like this, when you experience God's presence, when you understand you're in an atmosphere of God's presence, and the priests and the Levites are carrying it, you shall set out from your place and go after it. Now, this morning, that phrase, go after it, means to follow. But I like the way it is in the New King James Version. Let's get after it. Let's chase after. Let's be a church that goes after, in our week number one, that we are pursuing the presence of God. Say, get after it. We're going to get after the presence of God. And this morning, what I want you to see is that it's the priests who move the presence of God. All over, there's an emphasis today, and people are talking about we want a move of God. We're praying for a move of God. It frustrates me when I hear people say that. It's like they're sitting back waiting for God to do something. Jesus ascended on that day of Pentecost, and as he was caught up, the disciples are staring and saying, are you at this time going to do something geographic and political, and are you going to just win the world for yourself right now, Jesus? And Jesus said, you're looking in the wrong place. Just look for what's going to happen in that upper room when the Holy Spirit comes, and the power of God will be on the earth to change hearts and change minds. So we, as priests here in Joshua chapter 3, it's the priests who move God's presence. If we want a move of God, then the priests need to move it, and we need to get after it. And the Bible says in 1 Peter, but you, say that's me, try it again. Yeah, the you is you and me, but you, Roy, is a part of a chosen generation. And a royal priesthood, we sang about that this morning, a holy nation, his own people, the church, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a priesthood. And we believe that every person who's born again now has the obligation of a priest. And it's not an obligation anymore, but it's a privilege and an honor. And a priest would come into God's presence. A priest would minister before the Lord. A priest was a part of what God was doing. And today we are all priests. Say, I'm a priest. And so we all have this, again, it's not an obligation or duty, but in a sense, if we don't do it, it doesn't get done because no one else is going to shoulder and move the presence of God. So Harvest, we're not going to wait for God to move. We're not even praying for a move of God. We've made a decision at Harvest. We're going to be priests who shoulder his presence, and we will see a move of God because we're getting after it and moving God. Amen? All right. I got the right group in service number one. When you see the Ark of the Covenant and the priests, the Levites bearing it, go after it. And that's what we're going to do. I'm going to talk to you this morning about five powerful things that can happen in his presence. In fact, happens every time in his presence. I want to stir you to believe and have faith for what's happening in God's presence, even this morning. And then that you are pursuing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, bringing God's presence into your home, God's presence into the workplace. Have temple, we'll travel, and we bring God's presence everywhere we go. And then when we come together, it's a powerful corporate expression of his tangible manifest presence that we talked about last week. Number one is that we believe every time that we gather together and God's presence is here, there is a power for healing. For divine healing of our bodies, for healing of our minds, any type of healing, there's power in the room for healing. The scriptures say in Luke chapter, thank you, Graham, who comes part of the, I know that voice, part of the ministry team. And I'll tell you, if you need healing in your body, Graham stirs that gift of healing in his life and loves to see people get healed. On one day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. And they'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. We are now his body gathered corporately, and the power of the Lord by his Holy Spirit is with us to heal the sick every single time we get together and proclaim his praise. The power for healing is in the room right now. Somebody say, during the early days of the Pentecostal outpouring in the 1900s, there was a father, really, of the faith in these messages named John G. Lake. And John G. Lake had a ministry center in Seattle, Washington. And they had what were called healing rooms. And he believed that if you put somebody into the presence of God, they would get healed. And he preached it, and he taught it, and people started coming from all over the world. The sick were coming to just be marinated in presence. And so you would just get marinated in the Holy Spirit. They would create a sense of God's presence, and they would pray for the sick. And let me just read an excerpt of one of their publications back from the early 1900s. Instead of praying for the man's healing, Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk," Acts 3:6. No prayer about it, no intercession. Peter exercised the dominion that was in his soul. The divine flash of power of God went from his soul to the man, and he intently arose and went with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Sometimes those who minister to the sick are aware of what takes place, although the individual himself is unaware of any healing. There is a dominion in the soul of the real man or woman of God who is in touch with heaven. And when the real thing takes place, when a person is saved or healed from disease, we know what it is. We pray until we're satisfied in our soul that the work is complete. In the same building as our healing rooms, there was an X-ray laboratory. The technicians wanted to see what it was all about, and so they asked to take X-rays at no charge to us of some of our prospects for healing. It was a unique opportunity. Among those we sent to them was a man with tuberculosis. Each time after he was ministered to in prayer, they would take an X-ray. We could see the progress of the healing. Each picture showed less and less of the disease until there was no more evidence of it. He was completely healed. He was completely healed. We've seen this over and over through the years. And as if a person can't get to a service, we'll take musicians into a hospital room. We've done that and seen the touch of God, when the power of God, because Jesus didn't say pray for the sick. He did tell us, he said, heal the sick. And we know that there's power in the presence of God to do that. Point number one, when Aaron was young, he had a number of complications due to his global delays. And we were in a meeting. We went actually purposely to check out a meeting in Florida. He was born in 99, and so that was the early 2000s, right? So I don't know, 2000, we planted in 3, 6, 7 maybe. And so there was a meetings going every night of the week, and it was just growing and growing in Florida. And so we went, and Aaron, just a little boy, sitting in the front row, and worship would go more than an hour each evening, just really intense, the high praises of God. And what we noticed was when he was in presence, that he had one eye that really crossed bad. The eye never crossed. When he was in presence, there was things that he couldn't do before that he was able to do just sitting on the floor doing it. And we were amazed and reminded and preached today that in the presence of God is power for healing. Somebody say, and we need to, in faith, know that Jesus is in the room. There's power here. And so even while you're in worship, if you have something in your body, just say, "Look, I receive your presence today, which has power to heal," and by faith receive that healing. And of course, in ministry times as we come forward, we're going to just, oftentimes we speak to the sickness and just say, "You have to go in Jesus' name," as Jesus taught us to do. Number two, I'd love to stay on number one, but we've got a bunch to go here. And I'm not going to cover, I'll cover five, but there are so many than five. There's power of freedom, the power of freedom. Often when we talk to people who are new to Harvest, and they'll talk about how, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I just find that things I struggled with, I'm not struggling with anymore. Things that had kind of a hold on me don't have a hold on me anymore. Areas that I was fighting on my own, I just seem like I don't have to fight that anymore. I feel like that battle's done, because in his presence, there's a power for freedom. Isaiah prophesied about freedom and oppression, heaviness, just the things in life that cause us just to feel the weight of this world. And he prophesied this. He said, it shall come to pass in that day, which is this day. Say this day, today. It'll come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And it's talking about the enemy's burden and the enemy's yoke. And his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke will be destroyed because of anointing. In the Old Testament, we see that word anointing. It means Holy Spirit presence. The yoke will be destroyed. Oppression will be destroyed. Depression will be destroyed. Anxiety will be destroyed. Anything that burdens us is around our neck, steering our lives, and we can't seem to get free from it. When you're in the presence of God, the promise is that the anointing, the presence, will break the yoke that's steering you. That's a good place for amen. Oxen and other animals were placed into a yoke. They were controlled by that yoke, that steering device for farm animals back in that day. They would be directed by the direction of the yoke. And Isaiah is prophesying here that there would be a presence that had power that would break the yoke, a yoke of addiction, a yoke of anger, a yoke of anxiety, a yoke of depression. Anything that has control over our lives can be broken in the presence of Jesus, because where Jesus is, there's the power of healing and the power of freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not allow yourself to be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Using that language, understanding what's being broken today. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's exchange our yokes today. Let's break the yoke, break whatever is steering you today. Whatever is not of the Lord, that you want him to have complete control, his yoke around us, steering us. And every one of us has areas of our life that we are not being, where it's not under the full power of the Lord. That's why we do freedom small groups and freedom weekend. And I hope those of you that are in freedom this semester, you're really getting something out of that. And I can't wait for our next freedom weekend that's coming up. Number three, the power of joy. We sang about that as well. The power of joy. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve. For the joy of the Lord is my weakness. No, it's my, God's joy is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy that belongs. You've got to really understand this, because this is not conjuring up, you know, when we come and we worship and we praise. I'm going to show you the correlation here, that there is joy in the house of the Lord. And we sang that. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Because his presence is here, his joy over us is here. And so this isn't like kind of getting your praise on and kind of working up a good mood. That happens, it seems, but not because we are doing some kind of mind over matter or some kind of shift, positive thinking wise, but because we are aware of his presence, and where his presence is, there is joy, his joy It's His joy over you, His song over your life. And it's in presence that you begin to realize God is for me and not against me. You begin to realize I'm the head and not the tail. You begin to know in your spirit, greater is He that is within me than he who's in the world. And something begins to rise up on the inside, and you begin to tap into the joy of the Lord. And you go, I'm feeling stronger, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalms 16 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Happiness is a reaction to something great. Joy is the product of someone great. I'll say it again. Happiness is the reaction to something great that's going on in your life. But joy is the product of someone great. Joy supernaturally sustains our souls in seasons of heartache, injustice, and sorrow, so that when we can't be happy, we can be joyful, because something rises up in the way of strength that says, this is not impossible. You're going to make it. You're going to get to the other side. And there's a life-giving fuel of His joy that we tap into in His presence. There's some pretty good stuff in His presence, isn't there? Pretty powerful things, uplifting, positive, life-giving things, joy when we come to the house of the Lord. Number four, the power of change. I love this. All transformative power comes from His presence. That we're changed from the inside out. Man, I've lost count in my life of how many times I've been struggling with something. And, you know, just trying to get an answer from God. I get stuck sometimes. And, you know, I'll go to the Word and I go to the Scriptures and I can see them, but it's somehow it's not getting from here down into here. And then I'll have what I describe as a Holy Spirit aha moment, where I see with my spirit what God is saying in His Scriptures, or somebody's just praying over me, and I hear in their prayer something that kind of unlocks, like a log jam where, you know, all the logs are just so tightly in the river, but nothing's moving. It just takes one log. And you have that aha in the presence of God. You have just something that changes. And I'm kind of that person. I need to see it and understand with my mind before I can give myself to it. It's just how God made me. But I love it when my brain sees what my spirit is trying to tell my brain. Will you just get this? Will you just understand this? And I have this aha moment that changes me, and I can walk out of that situation because now I know that I know that I know, because my spirit has informed my mind has received it and submitted, and now I can walk out this aha truth that the Holy Spirit has shown me. It changes me inside. I hope you've experienced some change on the inside, how you see life, how you experience thing, and you come into freedom. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is what? Yeah, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes, Lord, freedom. So all of us have had that veil removed that we can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. It's talking about Moses, who wasn't in the new covenant. And he had a veil because when he went on the mountain, God's presence would reflect off of him. He glowed for a while. The glory of God actually glowed off of Moses, but it didn't last under the old covenant. So he would veil his face so no one could see it diminishing, because it looked great while he was going, but he veiled his face because of it was a diminishing glory. But we live unveiled. We live in the presence of God. We reflect, it says, the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. And like a mirror, as you gaze upon Him, as you come into worship time and you gaze upon Him during the week, and you just begin considering. We sang about the whole, and it's just somehow with music, the psalmist David knew, putting these truths to music, the whole middle of your Bible, the Psalms, were songs of truth that David sang. And as you begin to sing them to the Lord and about the Lord, you begin to get an eyeful of who he is. And then you cross into where you're unaware kind of what's going on around you. I call it getting lost in his presence. And you're so aware of who he is and what he's like in those moments. And the Bible says right there and then, as you're aware, gazing on him, his glory, the power of his presence, is changing you in those moments. I'm like, more, Lord, marinate me more. Work out the rough spots. Come on, work on those areas, Lord, that only you can change in my life. We're being changed into his glorious image. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. By his divine power, in his beautiful presence, we've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and his excellence. And remember, his glory is his manifest presence. When we come into that manifest presence of the Lord, he is filling us, changing us from glory to glory, the Bible says, from one level of glory to the next. Number five, the last one for today, the power of breakthrough. And the team's going to come, and we're going to sing that song we were singing a moment ago. And I'm going to encourage you that as we as we sing in worship a couple times through this song of breakthrough, I'm going to encourage you that if you haven't lifted your hands before in worship, that today that sign of surrender to his power and his glory, you would surrender to that today. And all across this room, we'll lift our hands and begin to exalt his name as we sing about the power of breakthrough. This last one, breakthrough, is when you face something that's immovable, like a mountain would be. It's in the middle of your road. Your GPS is saying, right here, you need to go straight. And back in the days when GPSs weren't being updated in real time, man, you could end up at a roadblock. You could end up in a dead end. And it's like, I don't know where to go. I'm stuck. And until this road opens up, I've got nowhere to go. Until something opens up here today, I can't move forward. And we're stuck where we're at because of the mountain, because of the wall, because of something immovable, because of a diagnosis, because of a situation in our home that is impossible to move without a breakthrough. And a breakthrough is the removing of the obstacle. But breakthrough is a two-part. It's two-part. Number one is the removing of the barrier. Number two is you've been standing still. The second part of breakthrough is the gush. Breakthrough was that word breakthrough in the Old Testament was often used to describe when a woman's water would break and then she would give birth. And so the barrier of keeping the baby inside. And if you're a mom and you know when everybody's saying, oh, you're still here? You haven't delivered yet? And you want to punch that person in the face as hard as you can, but you're an expected mom and you don't do that. And you're like, yes, we all want the baby to move. We're ready for the baby to move. And you might be here today. You're ready for that wall to move. Move that bus. You want to see the divine renovation that God has for you, but it's something standing in the way today. One is it moves out of the way. The second is the gush. It's the divine acceleration. And I love the seasons of breakthrough because not only does the immovable object move, but you begin moving at a new speed. What used to take a year now takes months. What used to take months now takes weeks. And what took weeks takes days. What took days took hours. There's a catalytic. And when the prophetic spirit of God is moving, and that the Holy Spirit is moving in God's presence, and it is the power of breakthrough is present, you will sense and feel that thing move. And then once it moves, you'll start, get ready for the ride because it's going to go fast. And that's another whole sermon in the New Testament. It talks about divine doors of opportunity opening. And how many of us just stand at the door and look at it and go, you think we should go through? Do you think this is a God moment? You think this could be God? Many of us miss our divine moments of breakthrough because we don't discern what's happening. And God said, you got to move fast. And the reason you're moving fast is because he's moving fast. And what it does is it bewilders the enemy who does not know. Remember, the enemy doesn't know all things. The enemy's not in all places at one time like God. And in divine moments like this morning, in times of breakthrough, the barrier moves and you can run through into a new season in faith and take hold of what God has for you before the enemy can ever touch it, before the enemy can ever get involved in it, and we arrive first. Isn't that a great thought? You can arrive at your God moment first because of breakthrough. A movable object move, moving at a new speed of acceleration in the things of your life. Well, I'd like you to stand right now, because the power for healing, freedom, joy, change, and breakthrough is in this room this morning. And so we're just going to take a couple moments. And as I said, I'd like you raise your hands, express this today. The Bible says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Will you shoulder presence today? Come on, all the priests of God said, I will shoulder. Ready? I will shoulder. Let's do it.
Strongholds, King of heaven, when you speak, mountains move. I believe there will be singing out your power, your power, your presence breaks strongholds, King.
Speak, mountains move. I believe there will.
going to pray for some breakthrough this morning just before we're dismissed. Aaron, would you come up with Dad for a second, please? Could you be seated just for a moment? If you're here today and you're a new friend in Canada, you've immigrated recently, and it is just hard. It's just hard. Employment. Some of you have left jobs of prestige and acknowledgement only to come to Canada to find out that the promises were empty, they weren't true, and you find yourself working where you don't want to be working. And you're looking for an employment, specifically an employment breakthrough. If you're an immigrant, would you stand if you're just with us today? Is there anyone today that would say, yeah, Pastor, that's me? Will you stand? Is there anyone? All right. All of our folks are back here. Okay, good, good, good. Anyone else just in the area of employment? You don't have to be an immigrant, but you're going to stand because you're just believing for God for breakthrough in employment. Would you stand? Your boss is in here if you're presently working somewhere. If you need a touch in your physical body today for healing, would you stand? Wow. Yeah. If you're close by someone who's standing today, would you just reach your hands out? Aaron, I'm just going to ask you, I want you to pray today for healing, okay? I'm just going to pass it. I'm going to hold the microphone. You're going to pray for healing. This week, I was reminded, in our home, I have to re-listen to Sunday's service about 26,000 times in a week. Aaron knows how to talk to Siri. He has an iPhone that's Bluetooth to his TV in his room, and he has one downstairs. And so he plays the service over and 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 over again. And he just loves to sit and listen to worship specifically. Usually when you get to Dad, you change it back to worship, right? Yeah. And the Lord reminded me this week, because we are always praying for Aaron's continual healing and nothing, no yoke. There'd be no yoke that could hold him back in his life. And the Lord reminded me and said, you've forgotten that he knows the power of my presence. You have forgotten that he knows there's a place of healing. That's why he always is looking for a broadcast of healing. He likes other things as well. He'll watch other things on YouTube, but predominantly he's in worship. And who are you waving at? Yourself? Oh, yeah, you're waving at yourself on the prompt screen? All right. Can you focus just for a second and pray for healing? All right, let's pray. Let's pray for people's healing, all right?
Jesus, we thank you for people's healing, that you would touch them with a special anointing.
A special anointing right now, Lord. Everybody who's standing now, that special anointing is your presence in this room right now. Father, we thank you for breakthrough. We thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, for all that you're doing in your presence, because your power is here today in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you just to be seated. Sorry for the up and down, but if you could be seated. Just one more thing. Aaron, you can be seated as well, son. Thank you so much. One more thing I'd like to do this morning, with every head bowed in this place and every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. This morning, you might be a first-time person here, or you're watching online, or maybe you've come for several services. But today's the day that you're ready to make a decision to receive all that God has for you. The Bible says we're separated from God, and although you may be able to discern that there is something powerful here, that power is Jesus, it's his presence. And the Bible says that God is not angry with us. He placed his anger on his son Jesus on the cross. His anger and his wrath for sin, your sin and mine. But because of Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That gift of salvation has to be received. A moment in time and space where you recognize that God is speaking to you, saying, I have a gift for you called eternal life. I have a gift called love and mercy and compassion. The Bible says we just need to turn from going our way and to face God and go his way. Make him our Lord and Savior. That's you today. You want to receive not power, not a higher power. But today I want to tell you who his name is. It's Jesus. And he's here today, and he loves you so very much. I'm going to count down from three. I'll go 3, 2, and 1. When I reach one, that's your cue to lift your hand today in this privacy of this moment to say, Pastor, I'm ready to receive Jesus. And then I'm going to ask you to take another step and to pray a prayer that we're all going to pray in this room together, but you'll make it your prayer today, a prayer that he will answer. Your life will be changed forever. If that's you today, I invite you in 3, 2, and 1. Just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me today. Just raise it so I can see it today. Yes, thank you. Back there, over here. Yep, thank you. Anybody else today? I just want to wait a moment. Harvest, let's respond in prayer with those that have raised their hands. Online, you can text in right now. I'm giving my life to the Lord, and our online host will pray with you today. But join us here in the room. Let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, thank you.
Thank you.
That you love me.
That you love me.
Today,
I know.
I need a Savior. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. I give you all my yesterdays so that I can live with you today and forever. I receive forgiveness. I receive your life. I receive my destiny in you. Thank you, Jesus. I am born again. Amen. Hey, put your hands together. Celebrate with those who today gave their life to Jesus. Let me dismiss you today. Father, I thank you for all that you've done. We receive the power that's in your presence. We will be priests who go out pursuing you today in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you as you go. Have an amazing week.